As we start this morning, let's look at Deuteronomy 32. Verse 1 and 2. It says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as showers upon the grass." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I look at Mark chapter 15, verse 22. Jesus was led to the cross. And we see Mark 15, verse 22. Something fascinates me each time I read this scripture here. Mark 15, 22. It says, "And they bring him unto the place called Golgotha," which is being interpreted the place of his call. The place of his call. That's where they took your Savior and my Savior. And the place is called the place of his call. It didn't make any sense to me, and I started just meditating. What's his call? Anybody's got his call? His call? Talk back to me, man. Talk back to me. Everybody got his call? Huh? But you know what? It's not called his call. Or the person dies, right? It's called your head. Right? That's right. So I was kept wondering, why is it called the place of his call? Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, your first assignment, your first port of call is at the place of his call. The battles you and I face every day, when you are conscripted into this voluntary army, the first place of call, the first battle you and I fight, is the battle of the mind. What's going up here? May God give us victory this morning. Praise ye the Lord. When you get an assignment, your commanding officer says what? Hey, you say, yes, sir. And then they give you the assignment. Somebody's going to Iraq. They say, okay, you are the 3rd battalion, and you're going to Iraq. And they start praying. You start praying. The first battlefield for all mankind, and for particularly Christians, our minds is first where we learn warfare. When my brother quoted the scripture, he said, "Hey, behold, we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places." The first battle you and I fight is in the mind. It's in our head. That score controls it. Amen. And when you get victory, if somebody has a cancer and you wrap it up in band-aid and all that kind of stuff, if you don't get to the root of the disease, that disease will kill that person. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we are talking of warfare today, and it's interesting that God may use you, that God may use me. Praise ye the Lord. The title of my message, call it the first battlefront, your primary assignment as a believer. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you get something from this. Because you yourself, we all make decisions every day, and the decision making process comes out of here. Am I correct?
Amen.
And did I put you to sleep yet? Please don't go to sleep. The mind is the beachfront of satanic assault of the uncrucified life. The victory we have here predisposes us to greater work in other extremities of our body, of our life. Am I correct? Somebody who is sick up here, you may see his call and everything, but begin to see how he begins to behave or misbehave. You know, oh man, this guy's gone cuckoo. Am I correct? Our thoughts and imaginations, in the first place, where our battle is, men, women, brethren, and what have you. There are other battles everywhere, but let us face first and foremost our first primary. This message will be divided into three, four scenarios, but I'm going to make it simple, as simple can be. Praise the Lord. Our thoughts and imaginations, that's what I'm addressing. Every scripture I'm going to read to us, that I'm going to read, we're going to read to each other, we're going to comfort one another and lift each other up. We're based, look at it and filter it through the message of the mind. I'm talking about warfare of your mind. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. What? This, every building, everything you see around you was in somebody's mind. This building you're sitting right now wasn't like this. Am I correct, Pastor? Emmanuel? It was not like this. But somebody saw what it could be, the end product. And God sees what your end product could be. And he spoke. And it stood fast. And we see in this auditorium where the building was first started and stuff like that, about 8 offices was in here. But through the imagination of the mind, this stands today. Nobody knew what it was like. And we could go on and on. Praise the Lord. But you get the gist of it. Correct?
Amen.
Amen. What is imagination? I checked the dictionary. It is the act of creating a mental image of what has not been experienced. That's Webster. What you have not experienced, you are creating a mental image of it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go on a trip. Play a game with me. Just close your eyes for a second. Just shut your eyes. Can you see yourself sitting by a brook? Clear as crystal. The water is flowing east to west. Can you see a school of herring flowing down the stream? Oh, look to your left. Right at the top, you see 2 cardinals squeaking at each other. Oh, you didn't even know. Right to your right there. Can you see that squirrel hopping down, trying to cross the river? Can you see it? Praise ye the Lord. Did you see it? You were able to create a mental image. For what? Your mind. This is a gift from God. This is a gift from God. The fish cannot create that mental image. Great architects and what have you, they create stuff. Telephone, the airplane, and the list goes on and on. They see it before it comes to pass. And eventually, it comes to pass. Now the question I want to ask us, you and I together, is this. Does the Lord know your thoughts? Does the Lord care about your thoughts? Is it important to him? Your imagination, what you think about, is it important to him? That is the source. The primary place where the battle is fought. Every Christian, all of us, put together on the seat, we create these mental images. The Lord says, by your stripes, by stripes I'm healed. Your mind is going, but I feel the pain. Some people, the challenge going through your head could be pride, your margin, some loss, and your imagination goes wild. Tell me if I'm lying to somebody, please. I can go sit down. But sometimes our imagination goes wild upon us. And we create an image of stuff. Sometimes it's fear. The list can go on and on and on. What are we as believers, as Christians? Does God care? Is it a sin as to what I'm thinking? Answer me, yes or no. What I'm thinking, what I think continuously, or what have you, is it a sin? Does God care about it? We'll find out in the Word. We are going on a trip today. So at the end of today, you and I may have victory over the thoughts and imaginations that confront us every day. You say, the Lord said, be thou holy, for I am holy. How can I be holy? How weak can a man get this holiness? Help me, somebody. And without holiness, no man will see the Lord. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus. So I'm asking us, does it matter what I think continuously? This is the source, the primary source of everything that we project, that we do, day in, day out, night in, night out. Think of the strongholds. You say to thyself, be true. To thyself, be true. You know what? I could see my brother, and he said, hey, Peter, you cool. I am the only one who knows the thoughts of my heart and the Lord. Amen. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
I can see somebody and say, hey, she's a prostitute. She's doing this and that and that and that and that and that. What are you thinking, believer? What am I thinking, church boy? Does it matter? Hey! May God help us. I said, may God help us. Does it matter what you are thinking? This is the source. And when we have victory in our thoughts and imagination, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord will lay a table before you in the presence of your enemy, and your cup will run over. Praise you, Lord. May God help us. I said, may God help us. Oh, yes, sir. What I think, is it a sin? What I think, can it be a sin? Are there consequences to what I think? See, because you don't see and you don't know me, and you don't see me in the home or house, you don't see me drinking beer and alcohol, you see me jumping in church, you say it's cool. Does it make a difference? Hey. We're going to go through some scriptures. Are there any pleasures in sin? Does sin have pleasure? When your mind goes wild, is there pleasure in it? Of course! Praise the Lord. Does it even matter what I think? Does anybody care? Does the Lord matter? Does to the Lord, does it matter what I think? What I'm thinking? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. It's not because I'm on top of this platform preaching. and got nothing to do with it. When I win the battle of the mind, and then we're talking. Praise you, the Lord. After this morning, I guarantee you, you will be seeing the thought process of your mind as important a thing as the prostitute, the alcoholic, the whoremonger, and everything in between. And God will give us the strength to prevail.
Amen.
To have victory over our mind. Have you considered young folks? Amen. You hear this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. It's true. Am I correct? It is true. But how can we get to the bottom of it? How can I have victory over this area of my life if it's the first part of call? That's why it's at Golgotha. It's at Golgotha. You're forced. As silent as a soldier of the cross. When Jesus was going to the cross, it was a voluntary thing. He wasn't forced to go there. He chose to go there. You see, your thoughts and my thoughts and my imaginations, it is voluntary. You are the only one, I'm the only one who can call out. Am I right?
Amen.
If when I told you to go on a trip with me, someone could say, forget it, I ain't saying nothing. And you will not see nothing. Am I right?
Amen.
You won't say it. So you have the will to do it or not to do it. So if you're able to win the battle of the mind, young man, young woman, you can sit next to your to-be bride or bridegroom, and the Lord will give you victory. Amen.
Amen.
I say, and the Lord, you will not. I mean, it's okay to have a confidence to call and all that kind of stuff, but when you win the victory of the mind, the Lord can tell you, well done. Is it possible? If it's not possible, he won't tell us to do it. And it doesn't matter. You know, when the Lord gave me this message 7 years ago, when I understood the revelation of what I'm going to share with us, literally two things in my life shook me. I was scared when I understood the revelation of this thing. One time I was in a huge challenge. Big challenge. I got on my knees as I prayed. And this thing I thought was going to overcome me. It was going to finish me, finish everything I stood for. In 24 hours, I cried before the Lord. And he asked me out of his holy hills. My legs was literally shaking. Whoa, Lord, are you that mindful of me? So, one other thing that happened to me when I understood the revelation of what I'm sharing with us this morning, I literally, it was like my breath. I was choking with him. I said, Lord, he cares about what I'm thinking. It's important to him. And then he started giving me victory. Victory in those areas of my imagination. Praise you, the Lord. And you will get victory too. Does it mean that since then my imagination hasn't gone ballistic? Of course. That's not the point. Because when you are giving, if you see in the war front, when you're given assignment, the soldiers here, you've covered this territory. Occasionally you have to come back and mop up. Anybody understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You send soldiers back there. So you go back and mop up the rear. And then you move forward. So you don't lose the grounds that you have won. Can somebody say praise you, the Lord?
Amen.
Is somebody hearing me?
Amen.
Is somebody going to sleep? Please don't go to sleep. Because this is a journey. You see, the Christian race is not a sprint. It's a marathon. He that endures to the end shall be, come on, Bible students, shall be what? I can't hear you. He that endures to the end, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up, don't give in. Let's start with our mind.
Praise you, the Lord. Paul, you're going to do me a favor. We're going to run through some scriptures. Some of the questions I've asked you now, we're going to run through some scriptures that Paul puts them on there. And those scriptures will answer some of these questions. Whether God cares, whether it's important, whether it's seen, or what have you. Paul, can you go on? Put the first one on and we keep talking. So I come join us here. Is that okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, Paul, put the first one on. In the badge. That's Deuteronomy. That's the scripture always hard for me to pronounce. I shall come to pass when many ways have approached. This one you shall test. Verse B. For I know their imaginations, which they go about even now. This was before they got in the land of promise. Jesus said, for I know their imaginations, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into land which I swear to them. God knows your imagination. My imagination. Next one. If you want to write them down, great. If you want to mark your Bible, mark it. Because there's deliverance in the word of God. Say the entrance of thy word giveth life. Genesis chapter 6. The Tower of Babel. Most of us know the story. It says God saw the wickedness of man and was that one was greater. And every imagination and thought of his heart was what? Continually evil. Go ahead, Paul. Let's run real quick. I don't want to keep us here for too long. Amen. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar? Go ahead. If I go into heavens, he's there. Your thoughts and imagination, he knows it. He says, do I not feel heaven? He knows everything. Go ahead. Can you hide? Can I hide? Even your secret things? No way. He said what? Hebrews chapter 4. I think that's verse 12, I think. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joints, and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intent before you do it. He knows it. Go ahead, Paul. Oh, he said these six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Go ahead. Next verse. Abomination. That is sin. He hates it. Go ahead, the next verse. The next verse down there. In Proverbs chapter 6, the next verse after that. Hold on. That was Proverbs chapter 6, verse what was that? 17. Read the next, what's the next verse after that? He said, a proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that shed innocent blood. Go on, next verse. And a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Wicked imaginations. Next scripture. So God knows it when you are devising evil stuff. You say what? Romans 8. That's 7. Say the carnal mind is at enmity with God. When you walk in your carnality, when I walk in my carnality, God is your enemy. He becomes my enemy. And we say every day, I'm a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. But what are you thinking? Is your imagination going wild on you? The carnal mind is an enemy. It's an enmity with God. Go ahead, Paul. Next one. Genesis chapter 11. So when your imagination goes wild enough, you don't want to hear the word of God, it just leaves you. Go ahead. Do whatever you want to do. Then judgment comes. Praise you, the Lord. Next one, Paul. Judgment fell upon them. The Tower of Babel. They created an image totally contrary to what God wants. And that was the end. And then what did God do? It compounded them. May the Lord not confound me and confound you because of our wicked imaginations. Are you getting the picture, folks? Our first assignment. Matthew chapter 15, 18. Sometimes we think it's what we eat. Da 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 da. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, come from the mouth, from the heart, that is what defiles you and I. I just said, let me put this thing up, so if you want to take it down, go home and da da da, look at it and stuff like that. Go ahead, Paul. For his brevity of time. I mean, the list goes on. You can go ahead, Paul, go ahead. If you want to copy those scriptures down, it helped me. It has helped me tremendously. Just run through them. If you want to copy them down, that's fine. I'm not going to read them anymore for brevity of time. You got it. You got the gist of the story. Am I correct? That our imagination, when they go wild and contrary to the word of God, it is sin. Period. Call it anything. The Lord wants my thoughts and my imaginations to be pure towards you, towards anybody of the opposite sex. He wants it. He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love me, if you don't, it's a different story. One of the Lord told me, said, put this, said, our thoughts and imagination are the primary launching pad, bedrock or foundation of all our actions. It's our singular objective as Christians is what? Christ likeness. To be like Christ. Paul said to the Galatians, he said that Christ may be found in you. Praise you, the Lord. Other scriptures you see there. There's a woman that ran, they said, oh, Matthew 5, 22, 27 to 10. He said, if you look upon a woman lustfully, you have already committed it. Woo! How many Christians, how many churchgoers will be guilty? How many believers? Come on, this is true talk. Say, judgment will first start in household of faith. Many a man, many a ministries, many a servants of God, highly placed, they are falling from the grace of their high calling. They will get you to heaven, some of them, and stuff like that. How about you and I in our daily walk with Him? How wild does your imagination, does it go? Am I playing church? Are you playing church? Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. So how will can a young man cleanse himself? Hallelujah. But look unto the word of God. How do we get victory over these imaginations that confront the believer? Come on, are you with me? Yeah. The scripture I'm going to read to you, when I understood it, it's where at the point my legs started shaking. It was like I lost breath. And I got scared. It's in the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Come on, Paul, put it up for me. If you want the rest of those scriptures we're reading out there, I give them to you, but you got the gist of the story. Put Genesis 1:26 for us, please. And God said, let us make man in our image and in after our own likeness.
God said, let us make man. So the gift of God to you, the gift of imagination to you and to me and to you and to you, was original with God. And he gave it to you. One day you're going to give it back to him. What have you done with it? Your mind. It's a gift of God. Have you ever seen a dog? Discover the automobile. Have you ever seen a dog? The airplane, the telephone. He didn't give them that gift. That's a gift of God. It was a part of God. Your imagination, my imagination, was part of God from the beginning. We're going somewhere. I let them have dominion over the fowl of the air, the cattle and everything else. Are you getting this? Amen. Your imagination was with God. You are a replica, an image of God. Every man is an image of God. This is where my legs started shaking, folks. When you therefore look on a man or a woman lawfully, you are lusting after God. Do you want the judgment of God in your life? I don't think you got me. Do you get me? Do I want the wrath of God in my life? You want to covet and you long to lust after God's property? Did you get it? I got scared. I don't know whether you catch what I'm saying. I got scared. And by the grace of God, most now, by the grace of God, because you fear God and you don't want the wrath of God in your life, you can look and say, oh man. Your girlfriend or boyfriend can say, you know what? How about a good one-night stand? Keep your stuff to yourself. I don't want no wrath in my life. If a stronghold of hate, pride, it's all in the mind. Am I right? The Lord gives us the strength. Praise ye the Lord. It's a sober message, but it's for those who want to attain to the goal of the overcomer. And he that overcomes, say, will sit with me in my Father's throne. How many want to sit with the King in the Father's throne? This is your high calling in Christ Jesus. This is my high calling in Christ Jesus. That you may hear, that I may hear those words when he appears. Well done, son. Well done, daughter. You may say there's pleasure in sin. Go ahead. One young man, 6'2", handsome young guy. True story. Brought up in a Christian home and everything. Get ready for medical school. He just went on a one-night stand. And that was the end of his life. He didn't know. That was VD. He can't get a medical school. They have to do the medical work and all. He couldn't get in. His life was in shambles. Just once. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So how can we? First and first things first. If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and personal Savior, He's making the clarion call right now. He is making the clarion call. Everything I'm saying has to do with the mind. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, you fight the battle of the mind. If you're on drugs or what have you, the choices that I make, the choices that we make, yesterday, the day before yesterday, and all that, we have the consequences right now. You are where you are, I am where I am today, as a result of choices I made. 5, 10, 15, 20 years. The decisions you make, the imaginations of your heart that you bring and let come to pass, you reap it. Whatever a man sweat, he shall reap. Praise ye the Lord. I'm talking about the battle of the mind. So what do? Man, fear God. It's better to fall upon Him. He breaks you, He melts you, and molds you. But if He falls on you, if He falls on me, you grind to powder. It be over with you. I like the way my brother, Pastor Ferdinand, said the lake. Say, hellfire! Hellfire! You want to go to hellfire? Ha! Ha 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 ha! One woman of God was taken there and she gave a picture of what she saw. Don't want to go there, period. So what does God command us to do? I'm checking the time. Because he or she is created in God's image. Don't go there. Don't covet. Don't even think about it. And if you think about it, what did Jesus say? Cut it out! Cut it! The fear of God is being of wisdom. It's a victory that all believers need to have in their lives. And as you make the effort, you will cry, you will see it. You see, in warfare, in spiritual warfare, there's no stagnance. Can somebody say amen? You either gain ground or you are losing ground, period. Also examine yourself if you be in the faith. Praise ye the Lord. Nobody else can tell you what you're imagining. What the word of God. You see, in the last revival, it's coming back. A point in time is coming. The Lord starts to reveal the heart. What you are thinking, what you did and didn't do. It's happened. The Lord said, I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten. I'm talking of the mind. This is a fact. A lot of believers just say, well, que sera, sera. And my imagination goes wild. Am I telling the truth or am I lying? Come on, talk to me. A lot of believers, the imaginations go wild except we want to deceive ourselves. Praise the Lord. Fear God. Fear God. Can somebody say that? Fear God. You see, Ecclesiastes 8:11. It said because because judgment against sin, against unrighteousness is not executed speedily, the sons of men Their heart is hardened. Because God doesn't judge the thoughts of my heart. Boom! Right away. My imagination runs wild, and yet I'm in church. And I'm imagining stuff. Weird, wicked, lustful stuff. It's in church. So therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The thing had already been executed here before it was done. Can somebody say amen? So suppose you take care of it here first. It won't be done. And what will make you take care of it here first? If you love me, you keep my commandments. Cut it out. Just cut it off. Snip it off. And as you start sniffing it off, when they come, you sniff it off. I tell you what begins to happen to you. I'm telling you, try it. You start feeling the victory. And for adventure, you make a mistake. You go back, hey Jesus, I'm here, I goofed again. My thoughts were my wild on me. Have mercy on me. You go back and mop it up. It says, come on. The interesting thing is, notice the story about the prodigal son, when he decided to do whatever I wanted to do. You know what? His father helped him gather his stuff. God is a good God. He gives you the freedom to do whatever you want to do. It's your choice. What you think, it's your choice. What I think is my choice. What I think. Nobody can come to you and say, what are you thinking? Why are you thinking that? Why do that? You be thinking that? You are the only one who has power over your thought process. Period. Is it scriptural? Absolutely. You are the only one who has the power over that. So that's what Jesus is saying. Say, cut it out. Just cut it off. And when you start cutting off, God starts giving you the victory. I saw it happening to me. Start giving me the victory. And have I made a mistake? Yes. And then I go back and mop it up. And I get the victory. And you get the victory. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Is this helping somebody?
Amen.
Is this helping somebody?
Amen.
I literally got scared when I saw Genesis 1:26. So now, folks, you can look at the areas of your life and my life that's a stronghold and start dealing with it yourself, personally. Personally. And the Lord starts giving you victory. I start feeling it. It's the truth.
Amen.
You will start feeling it. First, you got to have Jesus in your life. And the Holy Spirit gives you strength to do just that. First Corinthians 10:31. This is another key point. One, I said, 1:26, image of God. B, fear God. I could give you some scriptures about that. Fear God. Deuteronomy 5:29. Can you put that up for me? First, put that up. Deuteronomy 5:29. Fear God. In Malachi 4:2, it says, you can get that down. Says, them that fear my name, them that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now I'm talking of your mind. Them that fear my name, then the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, will arise to begin to cause healing in your mind and my mind. Just like you cause a healing in your body when it's a sickness. Because why? Your mind is the first battlefield. Am I correct?
Yeah.
How many want the Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in his wings? Jesus
the Lord Jesus,
amen,
God, said, oh, that they have such a heart in them, that they will fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. I'm talking of the mind. The battle of the mind. They that fear my name, if you don't fear him, some people just take this God like a desiccant. Oh, it's a baby in the manger. Don't forget that Lord Jesus is no longer in the manger. He's no longer dead. He's alive. Can somebody say amen? He's a lamb led to the slaughter. That lamb is a lion. He can rip me apart like that. But if you don't fear him, may that day not come for you. May it not come for me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So what do we do? For those, there are so many areas of Christian warfare. I'm just talking of the mind. We could go into other areas. That's not my intent this morning. There are other areas, but I'm talking of the very first part of call. The mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. And here is what you and I now start doing. Praise the Lord. No matter the stronghold. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, to all. Did he say some? Talk to me, somebody. He said, all. To the glory of God. Does that include your imagination? Oh, come on, everybody's quiet. Somebody says no. Does that include my imagination? Absolutely. Now you can see somebody of the opposite sex and your imagination doesn't go wild. Why? You fear God. That person was created in the image of God and you don't want a piece of him. You don't want a piece of God. You don't want to confess a piece of God. Because when the judgment of God comes upon you, he will grind you and grind me to powder. You say, hey, I love him better than that. I fear him better than that. I don't want to be put in the lion's den. That's what happened to me. Now I got scared. I fear him. Do you love me? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you're playing church, the different story, keep playing church. The day of reckoning is coming. Is somebody with me? Is somebody with me? All right. So you can see, just like you, have you ever seen another creation of God? Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? And you see the majesty of the Grand Canyon. You say, wow! God didn't just set up shop yesterday, man. This is awesome. You look in the heavens and the constellations. You say, whoa! Through the telescope. You see all everything wonderfully made. You say, wow, your highness. When my mother, about 17, 18 years ago, she's gone to her reward now. She got to the Grand Canyon. She saw the Grand Canyon. She was in awe. Have you been there? And you, there are several other edifices like that. You see a skyscraper. You say, wow. I love children. They appreciate things like that. They go, wow. Mom, did you see that? Hey, Dad, did you see that? Did you sign up? Shooting star? True? Have you ever said that? You go, wow. Now you can see somebody of our opposite sex, pretty and handsome, muscular and everything. You go, wow. Praise God, that person is God's sculpture, and that's it. In all things, can I give glory to God? Call out there, just like you see any other creation of God, and praise God. Now, your thought process, your mind is wrapped up in the will of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. That's the pivotal picture, scripture that I saw, and it helped me put it together. Can somebody say amen? Is somebody blessed? Hallelujah. I was blessed when I saw it. At first I was scared. I was petrified. I said, my God, I don't want this life to get me, man. Praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Amen. Scripture says, flee appearance, all appearance of evil. To me, this was shock therapy for me. I got a shock. I got a confirmation this morning on the next year. This morning, the Lord woke me up. He gave me a shock. Seriously, He did. I had my cell phone on the charger. I was beside my bed. And He woke, you know how you put your phone on vibrate? My phone wasn't on my bed. But I felt that vibration right on my back. I said, hey, wake up, it's time to pray. This scripture I share with you, Genesis 1:26, 1 Corinthians, shook me and came in. All fear of the awesomeness of God. Why I should try my very best to keep my imaginations lined up with Him. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Lined up with Him. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
You say, but suppose I goof off. Don't worry. If you goof off, 1 John, say we have an advocate with the Father. Lord, I'm sorry. Mop it up, move forward. See, when our thought life is in agreement with fear, immorality, and all those vices, the enemy, demons, have found a resting place. However, once the devil, once Satan realizes that the assault against your life, against your thoughts life, has not pulled you away from God, but toward Him. Once he perceives this, what happens? When these temptations are forcing you to appropriate godly virtues, what happens? The enemy withdraws. Try it. As you walk out of here today, try it. Keep captured by the Holy Ghost. You say, next week, you come back, say, wow, it worked. It does work. I'm not talking of, there are other things we talk about, demonology, I'm not talking about. All I'm referring to this morning is the place of this call. Can somebody say that? The place of this call. The mind. The mind. Can everybody say mind?
Mind.
The
mind.
The
mind.
Alright, praise ye the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Then that fear my name. Then the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing. You see, oh, praise the Lord. Spiritual fortresses where Satan and his cohorts hide and are protected. Those are satanic strongholds in our mind. When we are sympathetic to those things, these are the materials that these strongholds are made out of. Am I talking to somebody? When we are sympathetic to the thought process over and over, these are the materials strongholds. He said, casting down every thought and imagination that raised up its head against the knowledge of the Word of God. Can somebody say amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know whether you're with me. I hope you get it, because it was a blessing to me. Amen. And when you start getting victory over those thought patterns, the enemy, that's why it says in the scriptures, fight the good fight of faith. Anybody know the story of David? David. King David. The prophet. The psalmist. The sweet psalmist. That the Lord said he set up his throne on. 2 Samuel. Chapter 11. Verse 1 and 2. I'm not reading everything. You can read the whole story. Just about everybody here knows the story of David and Bathsheba. I'm just going to bring a viewpoint. Hallelujah. Whether you're married, you're not married, you are single, you're an adult, it won't make a difference. These are battles of the mind that you have to fight. Praise ye the Lord. What did I say? 2 Samuel chapter 11. You see, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. When kings go forth to do what? Oh, come on. Battle. Warfare. That David sent Joab and go to battle and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Verse 2. And it came to pass in the evening that David arose from off his bed. An idle mind. He was supposed to be in battle. He would have fallen into a trap, but he was not. That David arose out of his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Everybody knows the end of the story. The deed was done. In the mind. Had he called out, it wouldn't happen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God gives us room at the cross to repent. Why is this all this so important? We are His trophy. Did you know that? You, me, we are the trophy. The Lord intends to present to the Father. When you run a race, you get a trophy. Who's watching the World Cup? Huh? Somebody's buying for the trophy. You are the trophy that the Lord is going to present to the Father. So look at him. Look at him. Father, yes. How would you like that trophy to be all messed up? While I was here praying, oh man, the Lord said, mental image in my head. How would you like? In Psalm 23, that's when I understood that. I'll tell you now. How would you like to get a trophy? I'll tell you what it's about to finish my other story. The World Cup Series or the NBA Championship. And that trophy is messed up with everything you can think about. Stinking. Smelling. You don't want no piece of that. How would you like for the Lord to present you as that kind of trophy? He will not. It's impossible.
Say, be thou holy. As what? I am holy.
In Psalm 23, verse 5, he said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And I got his mental image. How, which one of us will prepare a meal and the plate is dirty? Are you going to wash the plate for a kid who's been 8, 20, 20 years old? No! Don't wash it. If this is your plate, would you like to see fungus and all that? Would you give him food in a dirty dish? Think of it. I guess that's why people have disposable dishes. But you are not disposable. You are the workmanship of God. That's the mental image I got. The Lord's not going to give you food, give you what we're expecting in a dish that's messed up. Fungus, it's molded. You will not give your kid, is that true? Food. Say, go wash it. Go wash it. That's what the Lord is commanding you and I. Go wash it. You are his trophy. You are his trophy. I am his trophy. So let's clean it up. I'm talking about the mind. I'm talking about the mind. The place of his call. Praise ye the Lord. Repentance. Repentance. And I said, I've listed so many things I could have told them A, B, C, D, but you got the gist of it. If you want those listening, people prepare. And guess what the Lord's doing to you as you're trying? He's your greatest cheerleader. He's cheering you on. Say, come on, son. Come on, daughter. You can do it. You can do it. You can be holy. I should take one step. I should take the second step. Or you go, a kid trying to ride a bicycle, he falls over, he don't take his sledgehammer and give it on the head. He does do that. If you don't do that to your kid, he won't do it to you. He won't do it to me. I should make the effort. Praise ye the Lord. And you gain the ground. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
As you gain the ground, he will never take a sledgehammer and whack your head in your effort. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord said, I will restore. I will restore. This is restoration. To you, the years that the locust has eaten, stuff that has happened, I will restore. That's why I said the first scriptures, my doctrine shall drop as dew. Praise the Lord. You have a choice as to what you think. You may say, he calls himself a pastor, she calls herself a pastor. Look at what he did. You have to judge. Examine your own self. Your own thought pattern. You can't examine my thought pattern. It's impossible. You know what I'm thinking? Am I thinking of the oranges in my house? Or the grapefruit in my house? You have no idea. Examine your own self. Mwah! Me! If it's in conformity with him. I started to shake and quiver when I understood this truth. I hope the fear of God will embed it in your heart. But God promises us, I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten, the palm worm and the caterpillar that I have sent. That's Joel chapter 2, 25, 29. I'm going to ask the choir to come up. Please.
praised him. You've been doing an awesome job.
We're going to sing this song. And maybe you are here.
He's at the cross. He's calling you home. And you've not had an opportunity.
There are things other things could say to help you along the way. But Genesis 1:26,
you are created in God's image. Don't covet that which is God's, so he doesn't judge you.
And does that give brother X or sister Y the reason to dress shabbily? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the attitude of the mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? There's a song we will sing. I'll sing it for a few moments. Say, I'm going higher. Yes, I am. I'm going higher someday. I'm going higher. Yes, I am. Going with Jesus to stay. I'm going above the shadows into the presence of God, into the presence of Jesus. I'm going higher someday.
I'm going. Will you come? It's the question. I'm talking of the mind.
Nothing else. Will you come to Jesus this day? As you sing this song, you could come to the cross. The people at the cross.
That's the conversation going on at Golgotha. The people at the cross, both of them, one on this side and one on the other side. None of anybody on the cross, including Lord Jesus Christ, could move the extremities because they were all nailed up. The only moving part was the head, the place of the skull. And there was a conversation going on at the place of the skull. One never feared God. You see what fear? Never fear God. The other said, whoa! Don't you fear God? You ain't scared? This man's done nothing. The Lord heard the conversation. And a book of remembrance was opened. He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. I'm talking about the mind. If you're here today, Jesus is calling you. He's talking to your mind. He's talking to your heart. Victory starts with Jesus on your lips and is not consummated until Jesus. Is in your heart. All I've said this morning will mean nothing to you. May mean nothing to you other than just, oh, I got to think. If you don't have the grace of God in your life, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, if you've not made the call to heaven, if you have not, he's beckoning on you today. Come on home. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You may say, I got more time. You may not have. The Lord is cheering you on. If your imagination has gone wild, he wants. Let's get together to the cross. If you want to kneel down over there, it's fine. If you want to come over here to the altar, that's fine. It makes no difference. It's what's in the heart. You join me in humming the song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Witnessing, praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, dearly beloved, build up yourself in the most holy, your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, can't pray in the Holy Ghost. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, it gives you grace and victory in those areas. So you got to have the Holy Ghost. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about the mind. Just hum that song with me if you know it. And I put the words to it. Just hum it. Just hum it. And your children are gathered this night, this morning. The thought patterns and the thought processes that go on within. Decisions are made. Folks sitting in the chair back there say, I will lead on, I will follow on. I will follow you wherever you lead me, Lord. You say you are mighty, the backslider. You are closer to us. Send help, O Lord, from above. In the name of Jesus. Father, I also for mission and commission. You said you are married to us no matter. We say, in fact, where will we go? You say you have the words of eternal life. Help each and every one of us. Especially those of us that are named after you. That is strongholds in our mind. We cast down, cut out, and follow you to the very end. In the name of Jesus. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus upon every heart and mind gathered here this morning. Those who hear my voice, even my own voice, hearing my voice, myself. Father, Lord, that you may cleanse, like the psalmist says. Some people are saying, "Beyond only have I seen and done that which is evil in thy sight," so that you will be blameless in judgment. Wherefore, Lord, restore to us, O Lord, the joy of our salvation, our minds, in the name of Jesus. Those here that are making decisions for you, to follow you for the very first time in their lives. Sitting back there, over here, Father, you hear. You cause your rain to shine, to pour sunshine, to fall upon all. You say, it's your desire that no one perish, but that everyone may brought to knowledge, saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who may hear my voice on the internet, maybe someday by radio, by TV, meet them at their point of need and let this battle position that they have fought, that they have decided voluntarily to take on, let them have victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing us when we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, everybody said, this is all it's about. Stay blessed. Shall we say the grace together? Now you know when we receive that portion of it. In Psalm 23, verse 5. As the enemy, right now, as the Lord lays the tail before you, giving your mind, as you get the victory, it now runs away. It's not poised for you. The Lord will lay the tail before you. Amen. Let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Hey, stay blessed, and God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. My dear sister, God bless you. God bless you, sir, and welcome.